So today, I had a couple of ways I was going to go, and today I thought we'd talk about, because we've been doing kind of the fruits of the Spirit, each time we've been tackling a different aspect of the fruits of the Spirit, and today I thought we'd look at everyone's favourite, which is renewing the mind. So we all love that, don't we? Because that's our part, isn't it? It's our role to renew our mind, or at least to be open to renewing our mind, right? Sure, God is in everything, but that's really the area where we get to have a lot of impact on how we renew our minds. So aspects of this might sound like a TED Talk. I apologise for that, but I'm not trying to. It's just TED Talks are based on what God's word is anyway, so I'm not trying to be a TED Talk. It's not a motivational speaker and a guru or whatever. We're just going to bring some, and we'll bring some scriptures in to back this stuff up as well. But first off, why bother to renew the mind, right? That's one of the first things we need to think, why bother? So if we don't have a goal that we're aiming for, life can be pretty, you can just cruise, right? And being the same person you are. If you're not married, you can pretty much just cruise being who you are, right? Because you get away with a lot when you're just single at home by yourself. Do you know? Like, that's the truth, right? And then when you get married, you're like, man, I've got to probably... There's a few things I need to sort out, you know? You might have thought you'd get away with it. Having relationships with guys, with each other at the church, having a fellowship, you get pushed and you get, you know, we get twisted on things. So we've got a reason to renew our mind. Not just so we can be better mates with each other. That's a good reason. But God wants us to be better than we were yesterday. He really does. He loves us the way we are, but he wants us to be better. I reckon one of the reasons and one of the things that affects how fast we change with our renewal of our mind is actually dreams, meaning goals, things that we're aiming for, things we want to fix about the world that we live in, things we've decided, you know what, this is out of reach for me, but I'm going to go for it. That requires change, doesn't it? Renewal of the mind. Now, some of you might be going, I haven't got time to dream right now. I've got this crisis in my life. Now, that's cool. The crisis can become the dream for now. You know, let's say it's a 3-month or a 6-month or a 3-year crisis that you think you might be in. When I say crisis, it's just a challenge. It's a challenge you're going through with God. And that can be a goal. That's fine. That can be a dream. That can be motivation. But we still, there's a chance for us to grow in that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the main one I'm talking about today is self-control. And so I'm not an expert on self-control. Don't think anyone really, maybe there's some people here that really are experts on self-control, but that's what I'm going to kind of focus on. So this morning I'm going to share with you a bit about my journey so far, and by the end of today you'll have at least 9 practical techniques. This is the sales pitch part. You'll have 9 practical techniques to help the renewal of your mind. You'll see the Father from a whole new light and in a more wonderful perspective. You'll see that your walk is actually perfect, your walk is normal, and your walk is actually quite beautiful. So all these things are part of what we're going to do today, and that you are also more spiritual than you realized. So when I say renewal of the mind and self-control, how many people instantly kind of beat themselves up in some aspect? Like, ooh, I've got to sort this out. Ooh, I know I've got to sort this out. No. So we're really good at figuring out where we're falling short as humans, right? We just naturally are, you know. We want to celebrate the goodness, but man, we can, if someone says what your faults are, you're like, whoa, you bring up the big list of things that are wrong with you, and maybe the things that we're quite ashamed of, things that we have a lot of shame around. We're not here to condemn, by the way. That's not what we're here to do. But when we were born again, we were made new. We were made righteous. We were made full. We were made perfect, pretty much, in Christ. We were renewed. We were made holy. So I am the righteousness of Christ, right? So what does that mean? Because I remember doing that and go, what does that mean? Because I keep doing these things and I've got these issues and I've got these... I thought if I'm just going to become Jesus, I'm just going to be this amazing person hanging around all day. And it's by our relationship that we have that by the amount of time we spend with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, the more we become like him. So it's a real simple. If you can just get that, if you forget everything today, just spend more time with him and you'll become like him. Because it's a famous saying in the worldly world that you become like the 5 people you spend the most time with in your life. You know, that's a thing. A lot of business guys will say that in seminars as well, and it's true. You know, millionaires hang out with millionaires. Billionaires hang out with billionaires. You know, actors and actresses hang out with actors and actresses. You know, like it sort of seems to be a thing. And when I was an army band guy, when I became a bandsman, I hung out with army band guys, and I think I told you the story about they all had station wagons for some reason. And I thought maybe I need a station wagon so I can kind of fit in. And when I became a Christian, I'm looking around at what people are doing and I'm going, well, maybe I need to be like more like that, you know, or more like this, because I just want to fit in with that culture. But when we need to become more like Jesus, stop looking at Christianity, look at the Father, and we want to be more like him. So one thing I want to point out, this is something about God that I had a revelation of lately. This is real cool. So our normal parents, right, they have flaws. You know, our mums and our dads had a whole life of traumatic events, right, and varying degrees, right? Everyone here has had a life of trials and tribulations we've gone through that have scarred us to some degree that we've maybe had to heal from. And so when I say, a lot of people say, God is the Father, they go, because they remember their father being maybe a bit abusive somewhere or not reliable or didn't show up or would show up in a way you didn't want them to show up and all these things, because that is human. But our Heavenly Father, he's not fragile. He hasn't got any trauma. Have you met? That's, I think, just let that sink in. Has God had any trauma? Does God have PTSD? It's pretty interesting, eh? Like, even just the realization of who our Father is. We can rely on him. He's not going to react in a schizophrenic way. Do you know what I mean? Because he doesn't have schizophrenia. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he has no trauma. He doesn't have abandonment issues, our Father, even though many of us have abandoned him. But he doesn't have abandonment issues. So what I'm saying is you can trust him. Do you get what I'm saying? You can trust him. You can trust him. Cool? By the way, don't get scared about all these books. There's a reason for these things up here. I'm going to read them all slowly to you. So God is. So what is God? So we think about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, there's some of them. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. It's a pretty cool way. Sometimes some versions are self-discipline, but we'll talk about that in a second. So the fruits of the Spirit, this is another revelation. I'm just sharing revelations because it's fun, and I get to because I've got the mic, and it's my turn, so I get to do it. So you've all got revelations, but I'll share mine. So that's, if you want to know what the Father looks like, look at the fruits of the Spirit. God is characteristics. He's not a physical form. As in we are, it's easy to see Jesus as a physical form, right? Jesus is a physical form, but he contains the characteristics of the Father. He is the Father. And so I'll go through them again. Love, always the first one, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, massive, gentleness, and self-control. And I think sometimes by the time we get to the end of that list, we kind of rail off and we forget the self-control bit at the end. And we get to be all those things that are in the fruits of the Spirit, you know, by hanging out with him. And it all sounds like pretty basic stuff right at this stage, but the revelation of that, if you can really get a revelation, firstly, we can trust God. So therefore, we can spend more time with him, as much time as we need or want, which I'll get into different ways of doing that later on. And then if we trust him and we can hang out with him, we become more like him. And we don't have to go, I'm trying to get joy, I'm trying to get peace, I'm trying to get, you know, fruits of the Spirit. I just want, if I could have more forbearance or if I could have more self-control. It just happens to sort of, some things get caught, not taught. Some things you just catch from being around people or being around things, so being around the Father. So nothing beats intimacy and time with the Father is what I'm trying to say. Nothing beats that. And so I'm going to go through, I'm going to show you, and maybe get Paul at some point to share as well, because you talked about how you spend time with the Father. You've got some daily disciplines that you do. I've got some as well. And I'd like to hear, if you ever think about what you do on a daily basis, it's not a chance to, you know, point people out if you haven't done much that day or you don't have much of a routine or whatever. It's not what I'm trying to say, because everyone's different. Holy Spirit speaks to us all individually. Some people, he's got a long list of things you've got to get done. Some people, he's just like, yeah, read the Bible. Some people, just put some worship music on, chill. Some people just like, just talk to me for a bit. There's all sorts of different ways that but I'm just encouraging you. Let's just push that a bit this year, right? Let's just push into it a little bit more. What can we do? What can we commit to with that relationship, you know, a bit more? Okay, so I'm here to talk about self-control, and then straight away it's like now I'm thinking about all my strength, right? I'm determined. I'm going to make this thing happen. And that's cool. It's good to build our determination. It's good to build that characteristic. It strengthens us. And that's a big part of it. And what I've noticed in this 9 months it's been now, 9 months since we've actually taken the role of being leaders here and still loving it, loving it more. But at the same time, we've noticed a lot of things that keep coming up within people, and it's character. Character, character, character. Not just yours, by the way. Our character. And he's working on our character all the time so we can hold more. We've got more capacity to hold more of the glory that he wants to give to you. He doesn't want you to grow in character so you can be a good little boy when you go to heaven, finally. You need to get there so you can get this. He's doing it for your benefit. He wants your character to grow. When you get pressed and you end up going emotional, like uber emotional about something, and you're like, I'll be going, what is that about that? What is about that that triggered that? Why did I do that? As opposed to, I'm reacting because you caused it. And therefore, that person has the brunt of that, right? And we'll always have these little things, I think, that'll come up depending on how big the weight is of what we're trying to go for, goal-wise, character-wise, okay? So this is pretty cool. So discipline. A lot of times in the Bible, you look at the word discipline, and it sometimes gets changed to self-control, and it's pretty obvious which one's which if you look at the context. But more often, discipline actually means correction. If we just change that word from discipline to correction, sometimes that's the right word for that. For me, this is my brain. This is if you're struggling with that word. Discipline often, we go, I just need more discipline. Well, that can sound like, I just need to punish myself more so that I do that thing, you know? And often that's what we end up doing. Self-control is a lot softer term, but it gives you a lot of power because it's word self is involved, so I've actually got a responsibility in there, and control, because he wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be more mature. He wants me to be more mature. He wants us to be able to carry more. So there's a difference there, discipline and self-control. So some people say, oh, he's a very disciplined person, you know, and that always sounds real harsh. It sounds like they just got this structured life completely, never step out the lines. Self-control, a little bit different. So wisdom has to be part of self-control. So wisdom and self-control go hand in hand. It talks about a sound mind. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's 2 Timothy. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. I like that for a start, because this is a thing I keep seeing in Christianity. Oh no, I'm just gonna be this little, no, God. I'm just going to humble myself and I'm okay down here, you know. And that's a false humility. To me, I'm just trying to help that. I know a lot of churches will stand up on their chair and they'll clap that. But they'll go, yeah. But I've never ever seen someone and going, I wish they would be more timid. Well, that's not true. There's a few people. But it's very rare. Often, especially Kiwis, we need to be less timid. We need to be more bold. We need to be more bold because we don't realize how righteous we actually are and how good we are, you know? So so what would the church look like? Oh, hang on. So this is 2 Timothy. I just read it out. Sorry, I've got two versions of it here. So for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power. I love that word. The power and love and of love and of sound mind. Sorry, my reading's pretty bad. And just don't forget that word, power. Think of the word timidity and word power. It's very different, right? It's his power. It's his power. But it works through us. I love the idea of power. not
take over the world.
It will be mine. Did that come out on the mic? Oh, it's still on. Edit that out. So what would the church look like if we all walked in this truth? For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline or self-control. I think we would just rule and reign on this planet, and it would be such a beautiful place. Literally, the kingdom would be pulled down here from under earth. So I'm going to go a little bit off. It's going to be nice and quick today, even though I've got all these books here. But I just wanted to show you what my routine is. Not because it's the best routine in the world, but I just want to give you an example so that maybe something you'll go like, oh, I like that one little aspect. I'm going to add that to my little thing that I'm doing. So I'm talking about habits and routines. So believe it or not, 90% of your day will be habitual and routine. I guarantee it. There'll be 90% of your day, and when it's not, it might be a little bit annoying, or it's because you're on holiday. A lot of times when we go on holiday, the only reason it feels so good is because we actually got out of our routine, and it's quite exciting because we're in a new place, and my routine doesn't exist here, and I'm like, ooh, I'm looking around, I'm experiencing things. That's often what happens in a holiday. And so I want to talk about habits and routines. Now, habits and routines, if you already have habits and routines, by the way. You have a morning ritual, by the way. If you don't think you do, you do. It's just not intentional. It might be something you just do. Now, if I'm on a bad morning, this is me just kind of being like a slob mark. I'll wake up and just kind of wander out. I'll throw the robe on and I'll get my phone and I'll sit down and I'll flick through TikTok videos and watch preachers all around the world doing things and I'll just sit there with a cup of coffee, which sounds fine. But that might go on, and it might be 2 hours in, and I'm like, I've just wasted 2 hours in the morning. The sun's up, the dog's at my feet, Keita's going, what are you doing? I've already done 40 things, you know? So that might be a bad version of my morning routine, right? And then a good version will be this, and this is what I'll tell you what I get up to. So first thing I do is I jump into my walking gear, which is just clothes that aren't these, track suits or whatever. And I go and I do a prayer walk. Now that I just called it that because it makes it sound super spiritual, but really it just gives me a real good start to the day. And what I do is I've got this walk. It's 30 minutes long. So I leave the house and I push start. My watch has got like a little timer, and I've got this app on my phone. It doesn't matter if it's not there. It's an app on my phone, and I've listed there's about 6 things on it that I use, and it goes through, and it's got a timer on it. So it lets me know it's finished. And I've got my little AirPods in, and it lets me know it's finished. And then I do the next thing. And so I go through these steps in my morning. Now, by the way, this could be really extreme to you right now, or this could be just like, yeah, cool, whatever. But I'm just saying it so that you can, this is not what you have to do in this church to be in this church. This is just, I'm going to give you my one just so you can go like, oh, cool, that's what he does. And you'll think I'm super special and spiritual because I've got such great routines and I'm so awesome at doing them. But when on a good day, this is what I do. So on my 30-minute walk, it's divided up. The first 5 minutes, I pray in tongues. So I'm literally praying in tongues. I'm verbally praying in tongues. It's something I've discovered that really connects me. It tunes me in to the Holy Spirit. And it's only 5 minutes. I know people can pray in tongues for hours. There's some people here that never pray in tongues. But this is what I do. And then the next thing I do is I go into declarations. And so what I do, I've actually divided my declarations out into about 4 parts. So I'll declare stuff over my mind and over my body and over my spiritual life. And I'll declare stuff for our church. And I'll break it down. I'll declare stuff for our family. I'll declare for our finances and business. But I've broken it up so that I stay focused, and it's only 3 minutes each one. And you can get a lot of declarations done each day in 3 minutes. And so I'm walking, and I'm declaring. You know, if it's for the family, it's like, I pray, I see our family around the table. Lord, I see them right all just rejoicing at the dinner table. We're having an absolute blast. Oh, you look like you're about to say something. You're on the edge of your seat. Keita's on the edge of her seat, which is very rare when I talk. So But I'm declaring, or if it's for business and finances, I'm declaring, Father, that I see this bill paid. I see this money coming in. I see us thriving. I'm seeing our future, and I'm declaring it. I'm pulling it into my present, because we were made in the image of God. And if we're made in the image of God, God spoke everything into existence. So if we are made in the image of God, we get to speak our own lives into existence. I want to wake this up in our church. I want to wake it up in the world. We have left this aspect of our lives dormant, because so often, now some people this is okay, but so often people go, I'm waiting on you, Lord, to tell me what to do. Now that's fine, waiting on the Lord. Sometimes there's moments, especially really faith-focused people that purely live by faith, when God literally maps out massive areas of their lives. That's amazing. I'd say most of you are not in the same category. I'd say there's a big chunk of you that need to go and make a decision on a goal and then say, God, how do I do that? Or say, I've got these three things, Lord. Give them options. Don't just go, what'll I do? Because I know I've done that too. I've sat there going, okay, Lord, I need a change. Show me what it is. And nothing. I got nothing. Ages and ages, nothing. Because we have free will. And we've got this garden to play in called the world. And we get to do whatever we want. We get to solve whatever problem we see in front of us. You know, don't like the government? Solve it. Why not? We could. With God, we can do anything, right? Don't like the health industry? We fix it. You know? Hey, come, God, help me find solutions. And he goes, now we're talking. Now we can talk it. We loose it. Yeah. We say it with a word. Anyway, declarations. So I love that aspect of my walk, because we get to be creative and we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as well, and we get fired up about stuff and I see real clear visions. I've seen visions for this church. I'm like, whoa, that wasn't there before. It's really exciting. Next thing I do after that, this is really cool too. You can write this down. You can keep any of these ideas. You don't have to keep any of them, but I love it because I'm a two-for-one guy. I'm Scottish heritage. So I like a wee bargain. So if I see I can get two for the price of one, I'm right in there. So if I'm going for a walk, I'm getting my calories burnt, I'm getting in shape, I'm getting ripped, you know, I'm doing my steps, and I'm getting all spiritual and religious. It's a real hard word to say in Scottish. I'm getting spiritual and I'm getting fed by God at the same time as I'm burning calories. And that's just me. I just like to do two for ones, you know. Some people are focused, and I have a focused time as well, by the way. There's a separate time. This is just a walk. This bit's cool. I call it lay it on the cross. So I've got 5 minutes, my fingers lay it on the cross. Cool. And I'm like, I just go through all the problems in my life, and I just go, Jesus, I've got this problem. I want you to help me through this problem, and I'm giving it to you. I'm going to lay it on the cross. Some things I just don't have a clue, and it's just so scary for me. I'm just like, I'm just going to give it to you. Now, every time I've done this, those things disappear at some point, right? It might be 2 weeks in, that thing disappeared. I remember when we were selling our house, we had a problem with the retaining wall. The retaining wall was like bulging at one point, and it was like really bad. And if you're going to fix a retaining wall, you're looking at 70 to 100 grand just for the paperwork to get the... anyone know that you've done a retaining wall? And then you've got to build it, which is another 100 grand. So that's a $200,000 problem when you've got a retaining wall issue. And so I'm just like, I don't have the finances for this, Lord. I'm just laying it on the cross. And then these engineers came around and they looked at the retaining wall and they go, oh, that definitely needs to be fixed. And they say, good news, it's not actually a retaining wall for you, it's the neighbor's one. So pray for them, because they have to fix that. It's true, it happened. And we had about 5 or 6 like things to overcome before we could move to Greymouth. Remember that? And we're like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And they were just big things. They all got sorted because we kept laying it on the cross. When I went for these walks, I'd lay it on the cross. Such a cool thing just to go every single day and lay it on the cross. And then you're down to a small list of like, oh, I've got one thing to worry about at the moment. That's pretty cool. It just happens. So pretty powerful. Quite a cool idea, that one, eh? Just lay it on the cross. Just give it to him. Yeah. And then the last thing I just thank the Father. I just thank him. For the last 5 minutes or so. That's easy, right? It's easy to, especially when you know all those things have got dealt with. And I go through and I list as many things as I can think of things that he's done for me, and which is, as we all know, is pretty easy to do. So you end up in this massive, at the end of the walk, I'm just on fire, right? You're on the fire for Jesus. Half an hour of walking and you've burned all these calories. So hopefully some ideas in there. So then, you know, I have another time that I've started as well, which I've is more to do with these books here. So what I do is I have 5 minutes. Now, I'm not a big reader, so I put a timer on to make me read the Bible, and I read 5 minutes of the Old Testament, 5 minutes of the New Testament. Now, that could be sacrilege for a lot of people here. 5 minutes. But I'm building this muscle right now. And so I'm actually really enjoying it. And 5 minutes is never really 5 minutes, because if you get into one good story, you can't put it down. And you can't, just because your timer's gone off, you're like, well, I'm going to see what happens at the end of this, you know. And so I've got two different testaments here, because I've got a real simple one, a sacrilege one called The Message, because this is the Old Testament, just so I can actually understand a lot of what's going on. Because this is something else I learned recently. And is this all tracking all right? Is it all good? So it feels like we're all over the place, but we're still talking about renewing the mind and disciplines and habits and rituals and things like that. So I was going to the gym here when I got back from Greymouth. I got a gym membership at a certain gym, and it was super cheap, like the cheapest in town. And it was a cool gym. It was fine. And I just found I wasn't really attending, and I didn't really think much about it. I just thought it was my own self-discipline, my own self-control, right? I'm just like, I need to sort this out. I'm going like twice a week. I should be going maybe four times, you know, for my goals were, and four or five times. And then Holy Spirit said to me, just go to City Fitness. You used to be there, and you loved it. Sure, it's more expensive, but it turned out to be about $4 more expensive to go to City Fitness than this other gym. And so I signed up, and my body is so sore right now because I can't stop going to the gym. So make sure you do things that you enjoy. Do it in a way that encourages you to do it. You know, don't put boundaries in front of you and just try and fight through it. Make it as easy as possible to do the good thing as you can. So I've done that with reading the Message version to get through. This is actually a gift, and I thought I'll be cool actually to read it and get that one down as well, at least for the Old Testament. And then I do New Testament. I use another version for the New Testament, and that's just how I do it. You don't have to do that, but I'm just making it easy so that it's easy to step through that, and I'm going, I don't have to work too hard, but I can get these good habits in place. So that's what I do, and then I got this thing called journal notes. So another five. These are all just 5 minutes. 5 minutes on journal notes. So what this is, this little book here, 2 years ago, I made a decision at the beginning of the year, all the good, right, truth, Holy Spirit revelations, and things that really were profound to me that I wanted to be in my heart and soul and everything about me, I'd put it in this book, this little brown book here that I think Nikita gave it to me. And it's a beautiful book. And it starts off in this book. So this is my go-to-seminar books. Yeah. Some people are really switching off now. Far out. Like this, I take this to seminars and to sermons and if I learn something, our home group every week, this book's out, and revelations just get put in here. Now, and then I'll come back to it, and if it really stands out to me, it makes its way into this one, because this is the one I keep going back over every day. I go back and I go read it from start to finish. Then I go back to the start again. I'm literally going round and round revolutions of this book and putting good stuff in there. I'll show you. I'll read out what I did. So this was this morning, which is quite ironic. This is what I wrote. This is I don't know when I wrote this, but how are you allowing God to renew your thinking? This is what I wrote in it. And cultivate being a son of a son, Mark, meaning me. So how are you allowing God to renew your thinking and cultivate being a son? And then at the bottom of the page, it has a little Bible verse. I love this. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. It's good, eh? See, this is stuff. I'm feeding up on this stuff, and I'm renewing my mind because I'm putting the truth in there, as well as revelation, the Holy Spirit speaking into this stuff as well. So now, the reason I've done this is because God gave us, we had prophecy over our lives a while ago, and it was a prophecy of something well beyond what we were. And I'm sure you've had the same. where God's given you a prophecy of something and he says, this is available to you. And so we just are fast-tracking that. So that's why I've got lots of stuff to do every day with him. Does that make sense? Because I've got a goal that's big, and it's getting bigger, by the way, and it's getting more exciting. It's getting more achievable, believe it or not. It's kind of weird. But because I know how good he is, and I know he's going to help me get there. So that's why I'm doing these things. That's why I'm sharing these things, by the way. And so I encourage you to get a good goal that you're excited about, that helps, that requires you to step out of who you are right now to become someone better than you are to hold that. Does that make sense? So, and then this is the next thing. I'll just read this and I'll carry on. God wants you to know this. Number one, you are God's chosen. Number two, your loving Heavenly Father has plans for you. Here it is again. Three, he can even make rivers in the desert. Four, he has formed you for himself. Think about that. Even just that one line, he has formed you for himself. Like his face turns to you. He's fascinated by you. He adores you. We just put ourselves down so much, and he's just there looking at us going, wow. Edit that out. We will give him praise for all that he has done when the new springs forth. He wants you to forget the past and enjoy what he's doing right now and what is coming to you. Goes on and on. Of course, this is all good, but this is just 5 minutes. I might get three pages in 5 minutes, and I'll just eat it, and that's that done. Cool. So, what else we got? The other thing, I'll dwell with him. I call it dwell, where I've just got just 5 minutes timer, and I just go, I'm all yours. I just want you. I just want you. I just want you, and then I shut up if I can. I tend to talk a lot because I've been praying in tongues earlier, and I can't shut up. And this is a weird new thing that I've started to do, which is kind of fun because this is how practical the Holy Spirit is, guys. I ask the Holy Spirit, what are my top three priorities for the day? Not what I think, but what does he think? And it's amazing. Sometimes he'll just put a person on your heart. And you'll go, well, that's odd. Because my practical brain was not thinking that, you know? But someone's going, have you contacted this person? I think you need to contact that person. And sure enough, there's a reason for that. So the Holy Spirit is practical, guys. I'll finish with this. And should we put some music on, or we'll have that? Let's put you in the background. Yeah, that'd be cool. So I hope this is set well. I hope this is set really cool. I'm just giving some ideas. Oh, please, can you, Paul, are you able to share what your routine is? Because you have a morning routine as well. Are you sure? Oh, you're going to share it? Because he's got a really cool one as well. Now, it's very different though, eh? It's just a thing. It doesn't have to look like mine. It can be very, very different. His is way more spiritual. Mine is kind of practical and bullet pointy because that's kind of how I like to roll. And that's okay, says Kim. Yeah, come on. Come on. But just thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father, for this an opportunity to have a practical God who is interested in life, who is interested in us right now. He's loving what we're doing right now. He wants to be a part of what we're doing right now. We thank you, Lord, that you're a father that absolutely loves watching their children playing in the playground. This playground we call Planet Earth, in these cool, fun suits called bodies that we get to run around in, that you made for us. Lord, we thank you for these precious bodies and these precious lives. We know that heaven, eternity is waiting for us. But in the meantime, we get to play and frolic and have a great time in this fun sprinkler park called life, with its ups and downs. Even though we might fall over and we might graze our knee, we might bump into somebody every now and again as little kids running around having time. But Father, you're just so good. You are so, so good, and we love that you're practical and you have very personal ideas right now, Lord. I thank you that right now people are getting amazing ideas and new ways of actually being a more in love believer than we were yesterday, a more devoted, self-controlled person than we were yesterday. that we're excited about our character growing and we're excited about who we're becoming in you. We're excited about where you are taking us. We know there's a surprise waiting for us, and it's a good one, because you are a good, good Father that can be trusted, Lord. We just encourage you right now. Maybe if we just all stand up. In Jesus' name, thank you for that.